Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Birds are highly intelligent animals, yet their intelligence is dramatically different from our own and has been little understood. As scientists come to understand more about the secrets of bird life, they are unlocking fascinating insights into memory, game theory, and the nature of intelligence itself. The new book, The Thing with Feathers, The Surprising Lives of Birds and What They Reveal About Being Human, is by Noah Stryker, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Noah, who's a birder and naturalist, to help us find out about The Thing with Feathers and much more. Noah, good morning, and thank you very much for being on the program.
Hello and good morning.
A delight to have you with us. This is, I use the word delight because it's a delightful book. It's an awful lot of fun. You have such a variety of subjects about birds, and the connections that you make are really amazing and truly mind-blowing. So what got you thinking about this, of looking at the lives of birds and ultimately their connection to us?
Well, this book project was inspired by my interest in bird behavior, not really as some dry subject for an ornithology textbook, which is what people usually think of when they think of bird behavior.
Absolutely.
But as something that we see in, like, viral videos on YouTube. If you go on YouTube and search for, like, dancing parrots and murmurating starlings, you get video clips with millions of hits sometimes. And I think that's the key. That's the wow factor of birds, things that catch our human attention in an emotional way.
So when it comes to that getting our attention in an emotional way, that's beyond just the normal, because we start with the fact that we are interested in birds. There is a thing that is birding. We like to look at them. We feed them. We are fascinated by them, most of us, many of us. So we begin there, and then we use that as our baseline and grow on that, right?
Yeah, birds are all around us. You can go anywhere in the world, and there will be birds, even, you know, the South Pole. And I think that's what's so cool about birding, is they're easy to see, they're colorful, they're beautiful to look at often, and they do interesting things. So I've been lucky enough to study and research birds in some of the world's most remote places. But increasingly, I'm fascinated by the things birds do, not just the mere fact they exist in some field guide somewhere. And that means that you can study bird behavior even right in your backyard. You can watch things like starlings and vultures and pigeons, things that we normally think of as trash birds.
Right.
And they're pretty interesting, too.
So that connection you make in when you say the surprising lives of birds. So what did you find surprising about them? And then ultimately, again, making that connection to us and to our lives.
I guess what I found most surprising in this project is that I set out to write a book about bird behavior and just tell some fascinating stories about birds. And then as I went along, chapter by chapter, story by story, I realized that all of these stories about birds doing interesting things had direct parallels, in most cases, with things that people do. And when you start to think about it, I mean, birds are similar to us on a basic level. They still need food and water and shelter, and they want to raise a family and leave a legacy, and we share all those same desires. And so I'm not going to say all bird behavior, but a lot of bird behavior can also be reflected in ourselves as humans. And I think that when we study birds, ultimately in the end, we're often studying ourselves.
You talk in the book about the, and I mentioned this in the introduction, about intelligence, that they are very intelligent animals, but that intelligence is very different from ours. So what do we not truly understand about the intelligence of birds?
It's impossible to say what it's like to be a bird, what's going on in their little bird brains. And in the classic definitions of intelligence, that we use for ourselves. Most birds, I guess, would not be considered very smart, and that's where the word bird brain comes from. But increasingly, we're finding that that's not necessarily the case, and there's obviously different definitions of intelligence, and some birds are surprising in the things that they do and how well they are adapted to their environments. And when we study how birds do what they do and why they do it, I think it's pretty interesting to learn about how it all works.
So some birds are more intelligent than others, right? Within birddom, there is a pecking order, if you will. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, I would say that two groups of birds, parrots and the corvids, which includes crows and ravens, are probably the most intelligent birds in the world.
And defined how and what makes them so intelligent. So give us an example of what they do to prove their intelligence.
And again, this is by our own definition. So I guess I should say that they are the ones that have cognitive powers and processes in their brains that are most similar to our own. So they're the ones that tend to impress us the most. But like parrots have been shown to have some capacity for learning even human language, and crows can solve 8-step puzzles, and magpies probably have some kind of sense of self-awareness. They've been shown to be maybe even the only birds in the world that can recognize themselves in a mirror. So things like that.
You have written about penguins before. You write about penguins in this book as well. They're a fascinating species.
Oh, I love penguins. I've spent a lot of time in Antarctica and with penguins over the past several years, and I just can't get enough of them.
And when it comes to intelligence, what do we know about penguins?
Well, penguins live in a world apart from our own. I mean, they're way down there at the end of the world. I don't know about penguins' intelligence. I always say that penguins are maybe not the smartest birds in the world. But you got to give them credit for living in one of the most inhospitable places on the planet. If you put me down there, naked, in the middle of Antarctica, I wouldn't last 10 minutes, but penguins thrive there. So again, it's a matter of perspective. But penguins are amazing to hang out with because they just have an amazing amount of charisma and personality and energy, and they have no fear of humans. They'll come up to you, untie your shoelaces, preen the side of your pants, and just follow you around.
And when we're talking about the, just before we move away from the issue of intelligence, chickens, dumb?
Chickens. Well, the thing about chickens is they do have what we call a pecking order. And so you'll hear the words pecking order thrown around in things like corporate ladders.
Right.
But if you look at a chicken coop, you can see a pecking order in real action. And the chickens have this hierarchy that they've determined within themselves. The alpha chicken always gets to eat first, and then the second chicken, and so on down the line. And if someone tries to jump the order, they get barraged by pecks viciously until they go back to their rightful place in line. So pecking orders are real. They're a part of nature. I will hasten to add that I think maybe human society is a bit more advanced than chickens, but pecking orders are out there.
You talk about chicken bloodlust.
They have bloodlust. So unlike bulls, like male cows, which go crazy for a matador's cape, not because it's red, but just because it's kind of moving and twitching, chickens go berserk sometimes at the color red, a little-known fact about chickens, and they can just go crazy and even peck each other to death if they see a little spot of blood. So there was this guy a couple years ago that came up with what he thought was a genius solution to this problem by putting red contact lenses in the eyeballs of farm chickens, because he thought that if they saw everything red, they wouldn't be able to single out one particular red object to wreak their vengeance on. The idea didn't really work out very well. It was hard to stick tiny contact lenses into the eyeballs of millions of chickens, but it was an interesting plan.
You make the point in the book and that most birds and even most animals can't recognize their own reflection in a mirror, except the magpie. The magpie can.
The magpie can, and most other birds can't. So if you put any random bird in front of a mirror it's apt to attack its reflection or try to mate with its reflection or walk around the backside of the mirror and look for this other non-existent bird because they see it as a different individual. But magpies, for some reason, can recognize themselves in a mirror. And that's pretty unusual among not just birds, but animals in general. There's a mirror test you can do, so-called, and some of the great apes have been shown to recognize themselves, dolphins probably, and elephants, and magpies and us, and that's about it. All other animals in the world, there's not much scientific evidence anyway, like that your pet dog or cat, for instance, could recognize its own reflection in a mirror. And that seems to come with an overall sense of self-awareness, where magpies may have similar feelings and emotions even to us, things like grief and sympathy and lying and cheating and things that we start to see when we're about a year and a half or 2 years old and we start recognizing ourselves in a mirror.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that you kind of tag it at 2 years old of that self-awareness, including the sympathizing in the mourning and the stealing and the cheating.
Yeah, people call that the mirror stage, and it's a pretty significant step in human development.
So when you see these birds doing human things, you mentioned parrots being smart. Parakeets and parrots, were parrots included? Yes.
Parrots, yes. Parrots can be quite intelligent. Parakeets, maybe not as much.
Not as much.
Sometimes maybe.
but when you see parrots do things, and you'll see them do, you know, they sing and they dance and they do all kinds of cool things. So I mean, how much of that is them relating to us? How much of they are doing that on their own? I've never quite understood that because it is a training, right?
They really do seem to have some kind of cognitive ability for intelligence. So if you go to YouTube and type in Snowball the Dancing Cockatoo, which you totally should do if you get the chance, you get a great yeah. video clip.
Be careful of what you get, but
yes. Rocking out to the Backstreet Boys, and it's quite entertaining. But a couple years ago, there was a neuroscientist who saw this clip and realized that this bird was dancing to an external audible beat of music, and that was a behavior that had never been seen before in any animal except humans. And he wasn't really convinced that this bird was actually dancing to the Backstreet Boys, that maybe it was just trained. And so he did an experiment where he sped up the song and slowed down the song and pretty much showed that, yes, this parrot could rock out at different speeds. It like bobs its head up and down and slams its feet up and down, and that it was in training its movements to the actual beat of the music. So that's kind of interesting that us and maybe this parrot can dance to a beat, but maybe no other animal can.
As far as the brand new book is out, it's called The Thing with Feathers, The Surprising Lies of Birds and What They Reveal About Being Human. The book is published by Riverhead Books. Noah Stryker, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it. It's a delight to have you here, and thanks for the great book.
My pleasure.